Good morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Pastor for giving me the honor to speak up here this morning, our church family, for allowing us, and for our church family especially, still coming knowing that Pastor wasn't going to be here, so I appreciate that. My wife told me I can't make fun of people up here, so I'll try my best not to do that. I know Mrs. Kettlewood wants to make faces, so I'm not going to look in her direction. She already told me that this morning, so if I start laughing, it's probably because she did something over there. But this morning, the Lord has been putting in my heart, during my Bible reading, a few different characters in the Bible and their stories, and their resumes, so to speak. I put up my resume here, if you can understand it. Let me know after the service. The resumes of these characters, if you will, I've been thinking about my own story, my own life thus far. On Wednesday night, Brother David, we had an opportunity to listen to Brother David. I think, should we call you Dave One? Is that how that goes? Dave D1, okay, so he's Dave One. But now, we got a lot of Davids here, but now we got a lot of Kens here. Ken, Kenny, so they're catching up to us. We got to do something about that. We need another Brother Dave. So Wednesday night, Brother Dave was talking about how, back in the day, how he sent resumes to different companies, not knowing that I was going to talk today about resumes. When it was actually popular to do that, remember that, when you would actually send resumes out? My wife and I looked at each other when he said that, because we thought about times where I would make copies of my resumes, and I would strategically pick, down in New York City, I'd pick a block that was busy, and I'd go out dressed up and handing resumes to people, talking to a manager and ask if they have applications, and then if they had one, run outside to a park bench, fill it out real quick, and then hand it back with the hopes of getting a job, hopes of getting an interview. You know, I think that actually still works today. I know with the internet and with most people, they don't even take resumes for the most part no more, unless you're doing it online or something. But that I think that still works today. I tried that last year during the summer, my summer break, and I went into a place to get a job, to get some summer work, and I was actually hired on the spot with my resume. I sat down with the manager. So that actually, I'm still a believer that this process still actually works, because there's just something about talking to someone face-to-face and kind of getting to know expressions and body language and things like that. So I think that still works today. Anyway, this morning I'd like to talk about resumes, what's contained in them, how we're all writing a resume basically on a daily basis, whether we know that or not, or want to accept that or not, in a sermon that I entitled A Godly Resume. And you might say, well, I'm too young to have a resume, or I'm older now, I'm retired, I don't need to write a resume, I'm not looking for work or anything like that. But the reality is that we're around people all the time. And people see who we are, how we act, what we say, what we do. And we're basically, if you want to call it that way, we're leaving a little bit of a resume about who we are to those that are around us. And if it's all right this morning, I'd like to talk about the four most common things that you find in a resume. 4 points, if you want to take it that way. The first being an objective. Most resumes have an objective. They have your experience, they have education, and they have references. And the goal this morning is to show these 4 points also and apply it in resumes that we currently are showing and how it shows on the secular side and kind of compare the two. So if we can do that this morning. I do have a disclaimer. You know, Dave Santiago always has a disclaimer. I don't like to get sued later on. But I'm not going to bore you with, like, my resume. I mean, there's not much there anyway, but I'll try not to do that. But I'd like to, if I could, kind of make references to that, if that's all right. Hopefully you'll understand what I'm talking about here in a little bit. Well, let's begin by defining a resume. And a resume, I found, is a formal document that a job applicant creates to itemize their qualifications for a position. According to ResumeBuilders.com, it is said that resumes should have 3 C's. It should be clear, easy to perceive, understand, or interpret. It should be consistent, unchanging in nature, standard, or effect over time. And it should be concise, giving a lot of information clearly in a few words. That like to the point. We'll get back to these three C's here later on in the sermon, but I just kind of wanted to lay that out there. If you would, you have your Bibles, open to Joshua chapter 1. Sixth book in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at the life of Joshua and how he left his resume with us, a godly resume. When you do that, can you also find your place in Hebrews 11 and kind of keep your place there? We're going to start in Joshua chapter 1, but if you can hold your place in two places, Joshua 1, Hebrews 11. I know I'm asking you the fingers to do a lot of work this morning. In my class, we usually do that a lot. Our fingers get to working a lot. So, we're talking about resumes. How often? I did some research on things about resumes. How often should you update your resume? An article from CNBC suggests that you should take a two-fold approach: update your resume every 3 months, and after every performance or after every job. You should, if at the bare minimum, you should at least update it at least once a year. As I was working on the sermon, I asked myself, do I look at what I'm doing on my own personal resume? Not the professional side, but just what am I putting out there to people? What is my objective? Not necessarily in a career fashion, but what are the things that I'm doing? Are there any changes that need to be made? Do I update my personal resume every couple of months? Or every time something changes in my life? Is it outdated? Some resumes could be outdated. Or perhaps things I need to stop doing. Well, let's compare a resume with a godly resume. So point number one, if you're taking notes, if you'd like to write things down, is the objective. The objective of the resume. An objective is something that one's efforts or actions are intended to attain or accomplish. A purpose, a goal, a target. I'm going to give you a couple of good objectives for a secular resume. Here's one. To secure a challenging position in a reputable organization to expand my learnings, knowledge, and skills. Here's another one. Secure a responsible career opportunity to fully utilize my training and skills while making a significant contribution to the success of the company. How am I doing so far? If you saw that on my resume, would you continue reading? Or would you just recycle it? Maybe, yes. I think those are pretty good ones. But you'll notice that in a good work objective, the focus is me or us. To expand my learnings, to utilize my trainings and skills. But when we think about a godly resume, the focus is not on us. Let's look at a godly objective set forth by God. You got your place there in Joshua chapter 1. Let's start there. As we look at Joshua's life as a person, it's interesting to note the similarities that Joshua has with the Lord Jesus Christ. He left a godly resume. He was taught by a man who had a godly resume, Moses. And it's interesting, he's considered a type of Christ. As a matter of fact, his name means God is deliverance or salvation. In the same way, Jesus brings salvation to those of us that believe on him. Joshua brings his people to the promised land just as Jesus brings his people to his heavenly Canaan. Joshua succeeded Moses, so the gospel succeeds the law. I thought that was pretty interesting. But in Joshua chapter 1, look at verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Here's an objective for him now. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be also with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Notice the objective is just not for him, though, either. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. He stays focused on the objective. We'll keep reading. Turn not from the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou go. Notice he expands his learning, his knowledge, his skills. Isn't that what we read? Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God's objective for us believers is to fear him, to stay focused on him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. Now keep your finger there, because now we see an objective that God is giving to his servant Joshua. And go ahead and go back to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, is known as the Great Faith Chapter, or Hall of Faith. Not Hall of Fame, but Hall of Faith. And here we're going to jump right into it in verse number 13. And here the Bible is talking about Noah, Abraham, and Sarah initially, if you read the context ahead of time. But we're going to drop into verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The objective or the goal was for they that say such thing declare plainly that they seek a country. They weren't looking for what was to be given to them in front of them. Verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You see, they were looking to secure a position that they could not see. It was something, it was a heavenly place. It was not in front of them. Rather, it was a godly objective. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. A godly objective makes us prosperous. Notice that God was telling them, this is going to make your ways prosperous if you do these things. Success, working beyond what he could see in front of him. So in a resume, there's an objective. In this case now, we're looking at a godly objective. But a resume also includes experience. Number two, experience. Experience is knowledge or skill required by experience over a period of time, especially that's gained in a particular profession by someone at work. So it's knowledge or skill required by experience over a period of time. In a resume, we put our experiences or employment that would best match the work that we're trying to obtain. The experience to help us obtain the objective. Well, in the same way, people in the Bible learn from experiences. Let's look at some of them. Flip back to Joshua 1. Keep your finger in Hebrews. I hope you didn't exercise your finger out of there. Keep your finger there. But we're going to turn back to Exodus. You got your place there. You saved your place in Joshua. Turn a few books back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. And we're going to learn. Let's look at how Joshua was strategically placed where he would have firsthand experience with Moses in order to obtain his objective. Remember, we already looked at the objective that God gave him. But let's see how he experienced that and how he gathered that. And these are stories we're familiar with. This is the story of Amalek when Moses stood up on the mountain. He had to hold his arms up, and he had Aaron and Hur holding up his arms when he got tired. We know the context of the story, but look at verse number 9 in Exodus chapter 17. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Notice the experience in fighting, first of all. He's gaining experience on how to fight against the enemies. Verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. By the way, a side note there, experience in taking direction and following. He didn't give an excuse. He didn't say, I'm not going to do that. This job's not for me. He did what he was told. Where was I? Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now we understand what happened with Moses there. Just go ahead and drop down for the sake of time to verse 13. Verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, notice what he says here. Write this for a memorial in a book. And notice the knowledge over a period of time. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. We're still reading about those experiences here through that godly resume today in 2024. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, Paul says this, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the worlds are come, so that we today can glean through those experiences. So here you have Joshua learning how to fight, learning how to take direction, building that experience to lead him to a godly objective. Turn a couple pages over to Exodus 24. We'll see another one. Exodus 24. This is when Moses gets the commandments from God. And notice who's there also. Exodus 24. Look at verse 12. Exodus 24 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Because he's given direction, he's given experience to teach. And Moses rose up, and don't miss it, his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the Mount of God. So, Joshua was right there when Moses went up into the Mount. Let's keep looking. Turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. When the people think that Moses has gone wrong because he stays up there for 40 days and 40 nights, they're like, wait, this guy is gone. Let's make us another god. Let's sacrifice unto this golden calf. Notice Joshua was standing waiting there patiently because he knew what was going to happen. But everyone else turned away. Isn't that the same today? Like we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, but there are some of us sometimes we get distracted and we look to other things because maybe it's not coming soon enough. We don't receive the blessing or the healing or something that we're praying for right away. We kind of like forget. Oh, we might not see it right away. Now here, this is when they made the golden calf. Chapter 32, drop down to 17, verse 17. Exodus 32, verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, notice Joshua's there, he's like, hey, there was a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing I do hear. Notice that Joshua is there. He didn't just leave to find out what happened. He waited for Moses. Turn one page over to Exodus 33. This is when God speaks to Moses face to face. Notice how Joshua stays behind while everyone else departs to their tent. They're at their tent in Exodus 33. Look at verse 9. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle when the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. Notice, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He's gleaning the experience from Moses, how to fight, how to take direction, how to worship, how to be patient for God. He stays right there. He experiences the presence of God. Go down to Numbers. You're in Exodus, a couple of books over into Numbers. And look at Numbers 14. Remember when Moses sends out the spies to search the land of Canaan? We'll pick up that story now. What experience is Joshua going to get there? He sends them out. They come back. When they return, who is it that tries to encourage the people to take the land over? Numbers 14, look at verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. This is when the people are saying, no, they made all sorts of excuses. We can't go. It's too much for us. And they say, no. And verse 7, and they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Remember, the prosperous objective was to be prosperous. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. A few more pages over, Numbers 27. If God be for us, who could be against us? Basically is what he's telling them. God instructed us to take over this land. He's not going to tell us to do something and then not equip us to be able to do it. Numbers 27, all Joshua's experiences was setting him up to lead the people for an objective that was bigger than him. Not something that he necessarily could see in front of him, but it was bigger. In Numbers 27, look at verse 18. Verse 18, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Notice, he has been with Moses all this time. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Notice the objective was for him to lead the nation, and now here's that point where God is elevating him, making him prosperous through the experiences. Verse 22, and Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. We go back to Hebrews 11 now. Let's look at what we have in the faith chapter. Joshua followed the objective. He learned from the experience. He had faith that God was going to do everything that he said he was going to do. Look at verse 6 in chapter 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, he must believe that he is God. And he must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We see the experience of Joshua building also his faith in God, because in Joshua 1, he rehearses everything that God told him to the nation of Israel, telling them exactly how to be prosperous through his experiences. He did God what God wanted him to do. Proverbs 16:9 says this, a man's heart deviseth his own way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It also says in 20:24, Proverbs, man's goings are of the Lord. How can then a man understand his own way? See, maybe he didn't probably understand everything that was happening, but God knew what he was going to take him through. We see that a resume has an objective, a godly objective, so to speak. It has experience that we learn from. But a resume also has education. Education found in the resume. Education is a development of an improvement in learning, knowledge, and skills to bring out Education is a development of an improvement in learning, knowledge, and skills to bring out for development and potential. While there are many definitions of education, most people often confuse education with schooling. Education prepares and empowers individuals for an active and productive life. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. How often when talking to people do we ourselves turn to our schooling and what we know or what school we went to before we turn to the Word of God? Or how often have we heard from someone who wants to like take their head off, like to show us, look in here, let me show you what I know, as opposed to look in here and let me show you what we can learn. You're in Proverbs chapter 1, right? How many times we see this just in life? And I'm guilty of that myself. We sometimes glory in the schooling more so than the schoolmaster. Jeremiah 9:23, I know this is one of Bob Cole's favorite verses. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Why? For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says this, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You're in Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 2. How do we improve our learning? How do we improve knowledge? How do we get educated? We look right to the Word of God. Is not the book of Proverbs the book of wisdom? Verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. He will educate himself. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wasn't that the commandment for the godly objective to Joshua? Fear God. Keep his commandments. Let's look back at our hero there, Joshua. Go back to chapter 1. We looked at this verse already, but I'd like to look at it again. Joshua chapter 1. Because we're talking about the education piece to a resume. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Notice, he's to use the education he already has received to continue to educate not only himself, but everyone. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Remember, to develop their potential, as long as they observe to do according what is written. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Let's look at John chapter 7 in the New Testament. Because schooling is something that the Pharisees were talking a lot about to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? They looked at him and said, well, you're not learned. You're not schooled like we are. John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ was not schooled as the Pharisees were, then they tried to tell him that he has no education. They glorified themselves. Remember Jeremiah 9:23, glorify in this that you know me, saith the Lord. John chapter 7, look at verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? He was never schooled. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but that his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true and no unrighteousness in him. Turn back to Hebrews 11, if you will. I'll read from you from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. This is what Paul says. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, in all things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Hebrews 11, you there? Let's take a look at Joshua's mentor Moses and how he chose not to be affiliated with the rich, the wise, the educated, the powerful of that time. Hebrews 11, look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than, notice this, the treasures in Egypt. Remember, Egypt was, that was the crown jewel back then. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. He looked to God. He chose to be educated in God, in the laws of God, than to be schooled in the laws of Egypt. So we see our resume has three things so far: an objective, experience, education. Our resume also has references. And if you're like me on the references part, I never put anybody's name. I just put available upon request. You just don't know. Make sure you call the person that you're going to put for a reference, because you just never know. Reference: someone who can answer questions about your work history, skills, abilities, and work style. A person that will speak well of your name. Go back to Joshua. This time go to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. I'm going to look at Joshua now in how he has presented him, or the Lord has presented him and made a name for him. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says this: a good name is better than precious ointment, the day of death than the day of one's birth. Did you catch that? The day of death better than the day of one's birth. The day of your birth, it's a great day, right? Everybody's excited. You got a new baby. And then that's it. It's over. But the day of your death, what are they saying about the resume that you put out to everyone? What are your children saying? What are the people at work saying? What are people in your church saying? Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. Moses forsook all of that. He said, I don't want any part of that. I'd rather my name be in the house of God than in the house of Egypt. And even after the death of Joshua, the nation of Israel, they continue those that outlived him, following the work history of Joshua. Let's look at it. Joshua 24, drop down to verse 29. Drop down to verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. Notice this. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. They followed. They knew his ability. They knew his standards. They knew what kind of person he was. And they continued after his death. Now, obviously, when the elders outlived, you know, people, we know that they went astray and they did everything that they thought was right in their own eyes. But I love the fact that God points out that, look at the last verse there, verse 31 again. the end of the latter part of the verse. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. It didn't stop there. It kept going. Even today, we reference the book of Joshua to learn from his history, to learn from his experiences. Look back at Hebrews. It's interesting how God speaks about these people in the Hall of Faith, because he's not mentioning things that we would normally mention. Oh, that guy was a good worker. He was a good employee. He doesn't mention anything like that. He doesn't mention their schooling. He doesn't speak. He speaks solely of one thing, and that's their faith. Look at it. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Their work, their skills, their ability, what was it? These all died in, notice it, faith. Not having received the promises. They're not working for something that was temporal. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. What country? Not here. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. God answers those questions of who and what we should be looking for. God answers the questions about Jesus Christ, who to look to answer questions about how we should work. Let's look at here in Hebrews, look at chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we get an interesting insight of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, wherefore, seeing also, we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us. We know all these stories. We have all these experiences. Let's glean from that. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto, here's the objective, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the experience, he experienced the cross, remember? Endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He became his full potential, seated at the right hand of the Father. For consider verse 3, him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. What a reference that is of the Lord Jesus Christ, where God is speaking on his behalf. So how is our resume compared to that of those who we've spoken about? Does it need to be updated? Do we have to adjust some things? Do we need to remove some things from it altogether? What's the objective? You know, I've often told my wife that I want to do meaningful work. Well, the thing of it is, not realizing it, sometimes we don't really see the meaningful work we're doing, right? But for the past 30-plus years, well, I'm going to say look over there. She's not there now. But normally, if you would look over there, you would know that it's not just her, but many other people there. That's meaningful work. Amen. Look at the person next to you. It's meaningful work. You say, well, I don't know anybody here. It's meaningful work. You being here is meaningful. I'm blessed even more so. My daughter-in-law, I get to preach. My daughter-in-law is playing the piano. I tried to distract her during the greeting. I went over there, but she didn't get distracted. She was good. She didn't mess up. What kind of objective do we have? Is it filled with godly experiences? Does it allow for the Word of God to educate us? What would others say about the things we have done? You say, why talk about resumes, Dave? Well, you know, this year, it's an election year. You're going to hear many resumes about many different people. And I'm not here to talk about any of that. The question is, what godly resume are we leaving? Am I leaving? I'm not concerned about when I turn the TV on. Because you know what? When I turn the TV on, there's not many godly resumes out there. But it should not be said that of that in here. It should be said that we are trying to build a godly resume. Remember I told you about being clear, consistent, concise? John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, if not the famous, is clear. It's easy to perceive. It's easy to understand. Easy to interpret. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's not only clear, it's consistent. God has been looking for man since he created him. It's unchanging in nature or effect over time, that whosoever believeth in him, and is concise, it's to the point. Giving a lot of information wrapped up in just one verse. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His word is clear. It's consistent. It's concise. He's given us all the information in a book that we can hold in our hand. What would your resume say? There are people watching. I have grown children as well as young children. I have students that I teach. I have employees that I work with. I have supervisors that I answer to. What is mine saying? They might not follow, because that's the other thing, right? You can have the greatest resume in the world, but if your child or whoever it is that comes after you, if they don't do it, right? Moses, he trained up Joshua. There wasn't anyone that came up after Joshua's shoes. They started doing what they wanted to do. That's a risk that you run, is it not? Don't we do the same? But let it not be said of us that we didn't make our resume a godly resume. I pray that this helps you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to speak your word, Lord. I pray that if at the very least that you would help me have a clear objective, Lord, to experience you and your word, to show others experiences that you have given me, to continue to educate me, Lord. Not that others would speak well of me, Lord, but that you, the God of the universe, would say, well done, when I'm finished here. We love you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for all these folks that would come on a Sunday morning to be here and worship you, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.